Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grupo Herdez's second quarter 2016 results conference call. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that this call is being recorded and that information discussed today may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's financial and operating performance. All projections are subject to risk and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially. Please refer to the detailed note in the company's press release regarding forward-looking statements. I will now turn the call over to Gerardo Canavati, the company's Chief Financial Officer, Andrea Amazurrutia, Head of Corporate Finance, and Gracia Dominguez, Investor Relations Manager. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. I am very sorry. I have a sore throat, so I'll do my best to explain and to read our prepared remarks. As usual, Andrea will provide an overview of performance in the period, and then I will share some additional information on strategy and outlook. We will be happy to take any questions you have at the end. Andrea?
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Gerardo. Grupo Herdez delivered robust double-digit growth on the top line this quarter, driven by solid commercial execution and healthy consumption trends. Our challenges in the period were the input shortages across major lines of business and higher dollar-denominated costs. Although the latter have started to ease from the first quarter due to tactical pricing actions, while the company's financial position remains solid and our outlook encouraging. Let's review the results by segment, starting with Mexico Core, which continues to experience strong momentum. Top-line performance is largely being driven by volume. In fact, it accounts for about two-thirds of the gain during the period, while pricing actions contributed to the remainder. The commercial initiatives in place, which include greater segmentation, investments in brand equity, and marketing that is evolving to reflect younger and more diverse consumer households, is helping to drive point-of-sale performance. Across sales channels, growth was well-balanced between modern retail and traditional. In the frozen division, we benefited from the seasonal ramp-up at Helados Nestlé, with very strong growth at supermarkets due to the integration with the commercial team of Grupo Herdez. In addition, the innovation engine at Helados Nestlé has been vital to its commercial success, with launches in the period such as a co-branded Angry Birds popsicle, the mini mega version, and the Pela Pop Frutti Tutti, which contributed to 50% of the growth in the quarter. At Nutrisa, the average ticket continued to grow at mid-single digits. We opened 15 new stores in the period, but also closed 21 other points of sale that did not meet operational and financial criteria. Our focus is to ensure we have stores in the right places and with the right product portfolio, with financial discipline as the top priority. As we highlighted in the last call, the consolidated gross margin recovered 2.7 percentage points on a sequential basis, although year-over-year comparisons continue to face the FX impact on dollar-denominated costs. Furthermore, in the quarter, we faced the ongoing deterioration in weather patterns that are affecting the supply of certain raw materials, and that Gerardo will explain in more detail. Finally, tuna catch has also been lower than in past years as it is an El Niño-related phenomenon. As for SG&A, it was practically unchanged in the quarter as a strong top-line growth helped to absorb fixed expenses. However, due to the impact on the cost side, EBIT for the quarter declined 10%, while EBITDA was 7% lower when compared to 2015. As for the equity in associates, Megamex reported another quarter of better results year over year as the benefits of the restructuring carried during 2015 are now paying off. As for consumption trends in that market, we continue to experience a strong momentum in home-style sauces with the Herdez brand, as well as in the guacamole category with three additional flavors added to the portfolio during the quarter. Consolidated net income totaled 373 million pesos, while cash flow from operations was a negative 312 due to strong working capital needs. With that, I will now turn the call over to Gerardo.
Thank you, Andrea. I would like to start by assessing the complexity in our current environment. We have not seen such concurrent shortages in at least 7 years due to weather and capacity constraints. From fresh vegetables for salsa, peppers, tuna catching, avocado prices, to name a few, that coupled with the ever stronger dollar has had an impact on our supply chain and consequently in our costs. Despite the sequential gross margin improvement that came through pricing mentioned by Andrea, this environment will continue well into 2017. Pricing actions will continue for a third time in a year during the fourth quarter in order to partially offset these impacts. In frozen, Helados Nestlé is doing great. Direct store delivery is up double digits, while Modern Trade is off to a good start. We relaunched Danesa 33, or Danesa 33, and exceeded expectations. Profitability improvements should continue in the following years as our learning curve matures. On the other hand, Nutrisa is integrating to Grupo Herdez as we speak. It has been a major and more complex task than expected due to the differences in the IT systems and accounting policies as well as procedures. This led to the aforementioned non-cash extraordinary charges in the quarter. We believe that the majority of these charges have taken place already. At the same time, we made some important organizational changes at the top in order to make the structure more efficient. Going forward, Nutrisa will be more focused with stricter financial discipline. Regarding Mexico Core, we expect sales growth to remain strong, but off the high growth rate seen in the first half of the year as comps get tougher. Gross margin should continue to expand more rapidly, but will end close to 200 basis points lower than 2015. Considering all the above, our guidance for 2016 is largely unchanged. We expect top-line growth to reach the upper part of our original range, while the consolidated EBITDA margin target should hit the lower part of the original guidance, that is 16%. We expect our full-year consolidated free cash flow to be flat, driven by higher requirements in CapEx and working capital. We do not expect any significant changes in our capital structure. That concludes my prepared remarks this morning, so we are now ready to take your questions.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. And we'll go first to Geronimo Contreras with GBM.
Hello, Gerardo, and hello, Andrea. Thanks for taking my questions. It's actually two questions. The first one is I would appreciate if you could give us more sensibility in pricing in Mexico core, if whether you feel comfortable with the price increases you already done, or should we expect additional increases through the second half? And my second question has to do with Nutrisa. If you could give us more data regarding the integration expenses at Nutrisa, and if we should expect any more coming in the second half. Thanks.
Good morning, Geronimo. We mentioned that we're going to make another price action in the second half, in the fourth quarter. That will make a total of 3 price actions this year. And we are not satisfied with the price increases because we are just passing some of the effects on higher inputs. That's the reason why our gross margin is falling 200 basis points for the full year. If circumstances continue pressuring input costs, we would evaluate eventually another price increase going forward. So far, fourth quarter, we'll have action. Regarding Nutrisa, the expenses are related to integration in terms of inventory adjustments between systems, non-cash, between the closure of the 20 stores that Andrea mentioned that are non-cash because it's amortization charges, and very few on expenses. You can expect smaller extraordinary as we continue integrating, but not at the same amount that we did this quarter. We believe that the majority of the charges have been taken place. But as we integrate into Grupo Herdez systems in the following years, there should be some extraordinary charges as well.
Perfect. Very helpful. Thanks.
And once again, that's star 1 to signal. We'll go next to Luis Miranda with Santander.
Yes. Hi, good morning. Gerardo Andrea Grecia. Gerardo, thanks for making the effort to be in the call. Two questions. The first one on the shortages. You mentioned that they could extend until 2017, if I understood correctly. And I just wanted to have some additional color. Should we expect that moderate or a material improvement in the supply chain during the second half or the third quarter, should we continue to expect the shortages, let's say, relatively the same and just an improvement until the end of the year, just to have some sensibility in that issue? And the second question is with regard to the frozen division. It's two-part. The first one, if you could tell us or some color on the same-store sales of Nutrisa. You mentioned ticket growing mid-single digits. I don't know if traffic is improving. And the final question is with regard to Nestlé, with the very good results you're showing with the commercial initiatives and the point-of-sale investment you're doing. Do you believe you could accelerate the process? Those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Luis. I will start to say that the world is a very strange place. So the shortages come from weather-related, from Mexico, from our catching tuna that it's in the Pacific, and from capacity constraint that will continue, because we are going to build capacity on our salsa facilities, but that's going to be done until the second quarter of next year. We are making inventory in tuna for the seasonality of next year. So even though we have small improvements, we don't see a huge improvement because of the seasonality of the products. So there's more demand in some products that we can deliver. And that's what's going to drive these shortages going forward. The effects are two: missed sales, and in some cases higher costs, because we are doing whatever we can to meet demand. So we are co-packing, or we are paying more prices in order to have the product to meet demand. So, and this is an ongoing concern in our business. But we haven't seen all these supply issues at once as this year. On your second question about frozen traffic at Nutris, not traffic, same store sales were flat. So our increase in ticket offset lower traffic in the quarter. So we are practically flat. And can you repeat your next question?
Yes. It's with regard, you have been showing some improvements, or very material improvements, in terms of the sales of Nestle, not only, I understand, not only with the seasonality, but also with the efforts of increasing the coverage and the improvements in the frozen products and new products. So if you, this could lead to an acceleration in the investment in the point of sale.
Two drivers in Nestle performance: new routes, new freezers, and second, modern trade. As the modern train team integrated in Grupo Herdez, we are increasing that channel, and that will be the same for Nutrisa, but not in the short term. Next year, we will see the same ramp up in modern trade for Nutrisa. So I think we can continue to expect this improvement in modern trade for the whole channel.
Perfect, Gerardo. That's very helpful. Hope you get well soon.
Me too.
And we'll go next to Lauren Torres with UBS.
Yes. Hi, everyone. Just a little more clarity, I guess, on these price increases. I don't know if you've disclosed the magnitude of these increases, knowing that there are three times over the course of the year. How do you think the consumer will react, meaning, can these price increases be absorbed, not really knowing the magnitude or on how many categories you're passing that through? And then secondly, I mean, just thinking about, is this the only response, or the major response you have? I mean, is there more you could do on the expense line to manage this environment, or is the offset primarily pricing here? Thanks.
Hi, Lauren. On the pricing side, for the full year, we expect that half of the growth will come from pricing. So from the 10-12% that we are guiding on top-line growth, about 5 points will come from pricing actions, and the rest will still come from volume. So considering the pricing action of the fourth quarter, we will hit those points of benefit in pricing. And that was what we already were expecting at the beginning of the year. In terms of volumes, the growth will ease a little bit in the second half, considering the tough comps that we have with 2015. And regarding the gross margin, no, we are not only relying on pricing actions. We have been making efforts to improve the sales mix, We have been containing also the SG&A because also part of the cost or the expense there is dollar denominated, and you are not seeing that effect in part because the top line growth has been very strong. So as we have said since the beginning of the year, the hit on the gross margin will be higher on the gross margin, but not necessarily on the operating line. As of today, we are also benefiting from the projects that we implemented in the previous years regarding the consolidation of production capacity in some of our plants, what we have done in mayonnaise too. So at the end, it's bulk of initiatives that we are doing in order to contain the impact coming from the cost side.
And these cost or price increases, they're on across the board, or it's selective with respect to where you're seeing the shortages?
No, they are tactical. Still, as we have been implementing during the entire year. So no, it's not an across-the-board action. We think that we have some flexibility there because we have more than 1,000 SKUs. So we are not impacting all the products at the same time and three times in a year. It's tactical.
And the consumer response on the first two, I guess, like you said, you're still seeing good volume growth despite the pricing.
Yes, because we are not doing the three actions on the same SKUs.
Okay. All right. Thank you, and feel better, Gerardo.
Thank you. I just want to add, volume is increasing in the high single digit in the first half.
And we'll go next to Miguel Mayorga with GBM.
Hello, Gerardo, Andrea, and Grecia. Thank you for taking my question. I would appreciate if you could give us more color regarding how MegaMex performed during the quarter and what are you expecting for the second half of the year. And then I have a follow-up regarding the pricing strategy. Thank you.
Well, in MegaMex, as you see in our P&L, the growth is of 30% in the pre-tax income. 20 points of that is coming practically from the exchange rate, and the other 10% is what MegaMex is improving in dollar terms. So as we mentioned, we continue to see a sequential improvement in the operating results coming from the restructuring that we did last year, and two main top-line drivers that are the Herdez brand and Holy Guacamole. For the rest of the year, we expect those results to be maintained, so the growth in our P&L should maintain at 25-30%. And can you repeat the second question, please?
Yes, the second question is regarding, thank you, Andrea. The second question is regarding price increases. I just want to understand if the price increase that you're going to implement during the upcoming months, it's enough to compensate the current FX rate, or if it's in line with your hedging levels.
No, it's not enough because you will still see a drop in the gross margin for the year. As we have mentioned, if we want to compensate fully for the impact, our price increase should be between 10 and 15%, and we are not doing that. So in order to affect as less as possible the operating margin, we are implementing actions at the top line, but also containing some SG&A and driving some efficiencies at the cost of goods sold.
Perfect. Thank you, Andrea, and get well, Gerald.
We'll go next to Alberto Garcia with BTG.
Hi, thanks for the call. My question is on Nutrisa mainly. I was wondering if you could maybe delve a little deeper into your initiatives to increase traffic there in the next 12 months. That's my first question. And second, if we might expect other sorts of write-downs or one-offs for Nutrisa given the restructuring process in the second half of the year.
Oh, Alvaro. Well, we certainly are, we have strategies to increase prices, I mean, to increase traffic in the stores, and that has to do with all our marketing initiatives in both fronts, in the frozen and the commercial. We have seen very good volume growth in commercial, but is related to food stuff that has a lower ticket than supplements, than nutrition supplements and sporting supplements. We have introduced new products in the last 6 months, so we expect that they will have a ramp up going forward, and that will help our traffic. We have other initiatives in order to increase traffic at the stores. We are focusing on a few strategies to increase traffic, increase ticket, and increase service. Regarding the further write-offs, I think that is a very straightforward methodology. If the value of the future cash flows is lower than our book value, a write-off is in place. As of today, we don't have that information, and we believe that we are taking the necessary steps to turn around profitability.
That's very clear. That's very clear. I think I misspoke. What I meant is not so much write-offs like we saw last year, but extraordinaries like we saw this quarter. So if you envision any extraordinaries in the second half.
Right. So let's suppose that in the second half we have a synergy between our administrative teams in Grupo Herdez. And we have to make some changes. There would be some extraordinary items. For example, the restructuring that we are doing at the top level management will lead to an extraordinary charge related to layoffs, but they will be significantly lower than what we did in the second quarter.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you.
And once again, it is star one to signal. We'll go to a follow-up from Geronimo Contreras with GBM.
Hello, just wanted to add one more question. And going back to the management changes in Nutrisa, I was wondering if you could specify what were these changes?
Okay. Due to the integration to Grupo Herdez, we had to let go the CEO, the finance director, and the marketing director. So all of those functions are performed in Grupo Herdez.
All right. Perfect. Thanks.
And that will conclude our question and answer session. I'd like to turn the conference back over to our speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you again for participating in the call this morning, and we look forward to speaking with you next quarter. Please do not hesitate to contact us if you have any questions in the interim.
That does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.